folks that are here, to greet them, to know that this is a congregation that loves the Lord. It is a blessing for us to be a part of this church. Today we are going to look into the Word of God, and we're going to be looking into the book of Joshua. The subject that I would preach on today is preparing God's people for the conquest of the Promised Land, and this is just the beginning of that conquest that Israel, that had been poised at the edge of the Jordan River after some 40 years of wandering, poised and now crossing over to begin that conquest, to begin to receive what God had planned all along for them to have. And we're going to look at that and the very first step of that preparation. And so the title of the message would be Rolling Away the Reproach, Arrival at Gilgal. Rolling away the reproach, arrival at Gilgal. You know, preparation is always something that must require a great amount of attention. It's absolutely essential that preparation, proper preparation, be made for doing a job. It is demanding, it is exacting, it's time consuming, it's difficult, it's absolutely essential. No way around it. Not if you're going to accomplish the job that you intend to accomplish. My tendency, for my part, I don't like all the preparation. I want to jump in and just start to do it, just accomplish what's supposed to be done. And yet, as we look at our passage, we're going to see that that cannot be the case. I know preparations for a builder. I've worked with David. I worked a little bit with John as John came to put in a bathroom for us, and I know that when John came, that a lot of things to prepare began before you began to build and put together that restroom. We had to strip out the old flooring, strip out the old joists all the way down to the ground because it wasn't solid, it wasn't level. Had all kinds of problems, and the preparations were many. The measuring, leveling, marking the level all around, and calculating the thickness of the flooring to be able to make a smooth transition from the kitchen floor that was now in place to the bathroom floor. Everything had to be done just right. Plenty of preparation, and I was impatient. We didn't have a bathroom, you know, and all I want to do is, John, let's get it done. Don't you think you did enough, spent enough time trying to level everything out and get it, let's build. And I was impatient, but the end result of John taking the time necessary was, the end result was that there was a perfect transition from that floor in the kitchen all the way into the bathroom. You never knew that they had been done at different times and that they were the result of all that planning. And in the Word of God, we find that there must be preparation for the people of God as well. Preparation before conquest could be made. The spiritual preparation for God's people. They could have come across the Jordan River, and the very day they crossed the Jordan River, say, all right, now let's go attack Jericho. And without a plan, without the preparation, they would have never conquered, and they would have never made the gains that they made because of a lack of preparation. And so today, we as a church are at a point of time, a time when we as a church are poised to enter in, to take possession, to become what God wants us to be, to do what God wants us to do and have what God wants us to have. But it does take that preparation, that spiritual preparation, and we must be prepared for it. And so we're going to look into the Word of God, see the preparations that were made for Israel as they were going through a period of time of transition, and realize that we too must make that transition. Let me ask you to look with me in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 3 to begin with. And we're speaking about arriving at Gilgal, that first stop where they would arrive over in the Promised Land before the conquest would ever begin. I'm sorry, Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 to begin with, and we're going to skip around a few different verses. We read in that verse that, "And they commanded the people, saying," those were the officers that went among the people, the officers that were there, "when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it." Look with me at verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." Now jump over to chapter 4 and verse number 3. "And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night," that is, at Gilgal. We continue in verse number 6 and 7, chapter 4, 6 and 7, "that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers," now this is concerning those stones, "when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Look down with me, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over." Now let's go down to verse number 14, chapter 4 and verse number 14. "On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." And follow with me over in verse number 20, chapter 4 and verse number 20. "And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." Now over to chapter 5, and we're going to read a few more verses here. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. "And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins." And down to verse 7 through the rest of the chapter. "And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Cana that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. May I ask you to stand with me for the prayer before we look into our message this morning. Heavenly Father, we rejoice at your goodness and rejoice, Lord, to see that you took the time and the trouble and the effort to prepare your people that they might have the conquest that you intended them to have, to be the people you wanted them to be. And Lord, we have arrived at that time of transition here at Victory Baptist. We need your help, and we pray, Father, for your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to arrive at the time of the rolling away of the reproach, our arrival at Gilgal. We pray now and ask your blessing, ask that you speak through me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Back in chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. They had arrived at Gilgal. They called the name of the place Gilgal. The word Gilgal in the original language indicates a rolling, a wheel, if you would, a circle, if you would, but a rolling. And the whole point of this was that they had to arrive there to roll away the reproach. And that had to take place before they could begin to have that conquest. And so we look at this as understanding that we too want to roll away all reproach. We want to arrive at Gilgal that thereafter we can begin to accomplish what God intends for us to do. I'd ask you to consider with me, first of all, as we look at our text, that we must follow after the presence of the Lord to arrive at that place of the rolling away of the reproach. We must follow after the presence of the Lord. The reason I read verse number 3 and verse number 11 back in chapter 3, if you look there, once again, we see that In that verse, chapter 3 and verse number 3, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they were to, at the end of that verse, go after it. The Ark of the Lord is going to cross. Follow after it. The Ark that was known as the symbol of the very presence of the Lord. For 40 years they had been out in the wilderness, and they knew and they understood that that's where the glory of God was shown. God was there, the presence of the Lord, the pillar of fire at night, the cloud, the pillar of cloud in the daytime. Okay. Microphone, will that work? I don't know if I can get this straightened out here. Maybe I can get it. There we go. I am so sorry. If anything can go wrong, it will. When I'm up here, whether it be a glass of water I spill or whatever else it is, I appreciate your patience. All right, let's try again. And if it drops off again, Mike, switch to me the other mic, all right? That the fact that the ark was going to cross in verse number 11, we had read in 3 and verse number 11, Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you. Follow after. That's the symbol of the Lord's presence. Remain in the presence of the Lord. Look down in verse number 14 of that passage in verse number, back in verse number 4 of chapter 3. It says that, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto you, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before. The Lord is going to show you. don't crowd around it where it can't be identified and seen. They were to cross across that Jordan River, the whole people in one day to cross over and get to the place of Gilgal, very near Jericho. And to do so, they had to be able to see and to follow the ark. The priest would go out holding that ark into the middle of... Okay. Can somebody help our brother? All right. And so the people had to realize that we've got to go where the presence of the Lord goes. He will show us where to go. And the reality, they had not been that way before. But if they would stay and remain in the presence of the Lord, they would not go wrong. May I say that as we remain in the presence of the Lord, we will not go wrong. Not as the people of God, not preparing ourselves for the conquest, go to battle. Today we have the blessing of having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. The scripture tells us in John 14 and 16, says, and I pray the Father, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you. He dwells with you and shall be in you. And so our bodies are the temple of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? And we, being the temple of God, have his presence within us. May we allow his presence to determine our path, that we might follow after him. And that way we'll get to where we need to go, though we've not crossed this way before. And so we remain. We must remain in his presence. And yes, he remains with us always. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And yet we, as the people of God, we're capable of quenching the Spirit of God. We're capable of grieving the Spirit of God. We're capable of not being filled with the Spirit of God, not walking according to the Spirit of God. May we take care to prepare ourselves, each one of us individually and corporately, that we remain in the very presence of God, because he will guide us in the way that we must go in preparation. I look again and I see that preparation is to resolve the issue of leadership, to arrive at the place of the rolling away of the reproach. That's what we've got to do. Resolve the issue of leadership. Look with me back in chapter 3 and verse number 7 again, if you would. Chapter 3 and verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, that they may know, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I'll be with you. I will magnify you. I will let it be known. The people will recognize that you are the leader. Now, they had gone through a difficult time. Moses had just passed from the scene. He'd gone up Mount Nebo. He was gone. And I can, as I think about that, Moses, the man of God, how beloved was he? They'd been following him for 40 years. They trusted Moses, a man who had not led them wrong. He was respected. He was feared. Moses had been greatly used of God in bringing the people of God to that point. And now the transition had to be made. Moses, like all men, he wasn't perfect. Nobody is. But yet God had used him and blessed him and prepared his people to this point in time. And then God determined, Moses, it's time to go. Moses, we're going to go on. The people are going to go on. You won't be there. Resolve the issue of leadership. Don't worry about it, Joshua. Joshua, I'll raise you up. I will exalt you. If we look back, just one more glance back at chapter 4 and verse number 14. 4 and verse number 14. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And Joshua was exalted. Joshua was brought into position. That was God's doing. And the Lord had an answer to that. The people could have had various reactions to the fact that that man that they loved and trusted and had been there all that time, that he was now gone. They could have reacted in many different ways if you think about it. They could have said, oh no, what are we going to do? They could have thrown up their hands and said, there's no future for us. This can't continue. We can't go in. They could have said that, let's go back into the wilderness. Let's retreat. They could have come to the point in time where they said, let's forget about conquering. That means battle. That's dangerous. We can't take that kind of a risk. They could have said, well, let's just try to fit in and make friends with the Canaanites and be like the Canaanites. And maybe they'll let us slip in among them. The people could have had the idea, well, let's go back to Egypt. Or why don't we just all be angry with God? This was God's fault. They could have said to Moses as he would begin that trip towards Mount Nebo, where he would see for the first time and the only time, look out into the promised land. They could have said to Moses, Moses, don't go up there. We need you here. Don't you dare leave us, Moses. They could have been angry and troubled with him that he was going to go. They could have tried to delay him, to say, no, stay here a little longer, Moses. And yet Moses knew that, no, God's directing my paths. And Moses was answerable to the Lord, not to the people. And Moses knew that God had a solution to the problem of leadership. God would raise up another man to lead his people. And he did. Now, think with me a moment about Joshua. Joshua thinking, oh, everybody knows I'm the leader now. Isn't this wonderful? Now, I've got the say. So now people will follow me. I am the exalted one. And then we, with that in mind, we arrive down to chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. If you'd look there with me a moment, chapter 5. And this is just almost immediately after Joshua had been exalted. Verse number 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was in Jericho that he lifted up his eyes. He was just outside of Gilgal. He'd arrived there. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. And Joshua asked that question, art thou for us or for our adversaries? For us, one of my followers? For us, one that recognized that I'm the leader here? And the response that was given, nay, verse 14, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And Joshua recognized, now wait a minute. God made me the leader. So, oh no, wait a minute. I realize you are the Lord. This was the Lord himself. Look just a little further in verse 15. The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, off thy foot, and for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. In the following chapter that we did not read, verse number 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, and the Lord began to give him directions. The Lord began to lay out the plan. Here's how you can do it, Joshua. Here's how you're going to lead the people. And immediately Joshua, on his face, worshiping, and only the Lord himself, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, was there. Theophany or Christology of God himself, the person of Jesus Christ. And Joshua was saying, you're the Lord. Direct me. And when I read this, thinking about that issue of leadership, I thought, well, the problem isn't finding the man. A man to follow the problem. If we find a man that goes to the Lord, gets his message from the Lord, that's the man we can follow. And the issue is resolved. All we have to do is realize that here's somebody that loves the Lord, that's following the Lord, that goes to him, receives his message from him to direct his people. The issue's already resolved, and the people will make the conquest. As I studied and prepared late last night, it finally dawned upon my mind. He said that the place where thou art, where you stand right here, it's holy ground. loose thy shoe from off thy foot. And I realized that the pastor, the preacher, the man of God that stands there and seeks the face of the Lord and goes to him and allows the Lord to direct him, his path and lay out for him a message to give to the people. Oh, the preacher enters into the upon holy ground every time he goes to study and prepares and seeks the face of God and the message of the Word of God to communicate to the people of God. And last night I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for not taking my shoe off. I wanted to, and I thought about it. But Moses had the advantage. He had a burning bush to keep his feet warm. My little office corner of that bedroom, it's cold at night, and my feet get cold. I solved the problem. I took my shoe off, and I slipped on. I've got this pair out of my boots that I bought in 1979. The felt liners inside of a winter boot that I bought up in Quebec, Canada, studying language up there. It was cold up there, and I just slipped that on, and every time I get cold feet, I just slip that on, but at least my shoe is off. And my brethren, we as the people of God can resolve this whole issue of leadership by turning it over to the Lord, knowing that God can raise up somebody else. He can call somebody, enable that person. What did Paul say? Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12 that I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God's able to do that. And God will do that. And God's got his man that he will magnify and make sure that he's the man that's going to the Lord to get his message. Issue resolved. Leadership. And so, as we look, we see that preparation to remain in the presence of the Lord, to issue and resolve that issue of leadership. And again, I see that it is to establish a testimony. Establish a testimony in arriving at the place of the rolling away of the reproach. Back in chapter 4, verse number 3, we read of what was happening as they crossed the Jordan River. Now, the river had been stopped off about 15 miles to the north, and the whole multitude was crossing. But something was going on at that point in time. Chapter 4 and verse number 3, we read that they were to pick up stones to carry them out, to take them to the place where they would lodge that night, there at Gilgal. And that they would carry forth, look with me in verse number, chapter 4 and verse number 20, chapter 4 and verse number 20, it says, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Verse number 21, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean these stones? They're going to see it. There's going to be a witness there, a testimony there, a heap of stones taken out of the midst of the river there in Gilgal. The day will come when the children won't know what it's all about, and they're going to turn and say, what mean these stones? There will have been a testimony. Down to verse 22, and the Lord your God dried up, this is what it means, the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before you. A testimony. Establish it. There we enter in. Something that indicates in the evidence of what God did and what God's people were doing, following after the Lord, preparing themselves for the conquest. God knew how to prepare a people for the conquest. And he wanted those that would come after the children. Oh, what a blessing it is when there's a Christian family, Christian parents who love the Lord and their children know about it. There's a testimony in that home. And they have prayer, and they have Bible reading, and they're faithful to church, and they love the Lord, and that they're leaving behind a testimony. Oh, that God would help every one of us. to have that kind of a testimony that we leave behind, that others can see. And I note that as we look at this, it was not only that, that our children would know. Look down in verse 24, chapter 4 and verse 24. We read that, let me back up to verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you till you were passed over. And then down to verse number 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Not just the children. As we seek to impart that testimony, that witness for loving the Lord and following Him and seeing His working in our lives and the power of God to change lives, all the world is going to know about it, verse 24 says, as we impart it unto our children. The idea of being that consistent living will be communicated through the children, and everybody in the world is going to know about it. That's the kind of testimony that Victory Baptist Church can have. And that's the kind of testimony that we as individuals can have if we seek to honor the Lord, establishing a testimony. And I look again, and not only do we have that presence of the Lord that we seek and we resolve the leadership issue and establish a testimony, but also there's a personalizing of commitment upon arrival at that place of rolling away the reproach. A personalized commitment. Chapter 5, and a painful verse, beginning of that passage in chapter 5, it tells us in verse number 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives, literally flint knives made out of stone. And you can sharpen stone all you want to sharpen, but it's still not going to be all that sharp. Make you sharp stones, or sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And we read down in verse 7, chapter 5, verse 7, and their children whom He raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. Now, that's personalizing commitment, is it not? That's circumcision. A painful situation. And yet it identified the people of God in the covenant that God, the faithfulness of God to His to His covenant with His people. And for a generation, they hadn't been practicing circumcision. They weren't circumcised. They were outside of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and passed on. They had neglected to be faithful to do what God had told them to do as His people. There was reproach to be rolled away, and it was accomplished that day. And that day, as every child came and everyone, and whether child or adult, and the male children, everyone came, and there was a remembrance of the fact that we belong to the Lord. We are His people. We must honor Him and live for Him and obey Him. And there was a personalizing of their commitment at that point in time. It talks about the reproach of Egypt. Rolling away the reproach of Egypt. Look with me in verse number, or I'll just read to you. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 12. It says that, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did He bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? How is it that Egypt is mocking the people of God? It's because they were not living up to what God wanted them to do. They weren't participating. They weren't within within the prescription of that covenant with the Lord. And so Egypt would look and say, yeah, you escaped from us. You said God was going to take you to a land of milk and honey, and look at you. All of you dying off out in the desert, wandering around 40 years. What kind of a God do you serve after all? And yet it was a disobedient people, people who were not, had not been faithful to the Lord, that needed to personalize that commitment with that point in time of circumcision. And I look at our very last point here, not only personalizing their commitment, but celebrating their redemption, having arrived at the place of the rolling away of the reproach. Look at verse number 10, chapter 5 and verse number 10. And we read, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. They did eat of the old corn." In other words, the mature corn, the corn that is now ripe. It was the time of harvest. "They did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land." The manna ceased. There was to be in verse number 10, there was to be the keeping of that Passover, what they had failed to have done, a time when they were to partake of that God had told them to do. It was to be a memorial to them, the remembrance of the fact that blood had been shed, a spotless lamb had been sacrificed. They were, every one of them, to partake of that. The blood was to be upon every house, sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintel, and they were to partake of that, celebrating their redemption, having arrived at that point in time. And how we need to celebrate and realize the importance of what Jesus Christ did, the spotless Lamb of God, sacrifice for our sins that we might have life. And he says in Exodus 12:13, and he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." My friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, you cannot celebrate that redemption, because you've not been covered with the blood of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ. "When I see the blood," and the Lord looks and he knows every heart, and he knows, has that heart been washed? Are their sins forgiven? Is this individual saved? Is that one washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? It's only as we take personally celebrating our redemption, having arrived at that point of time, and thereby, immediately, the manna ceased. A change of diet. They had arrived at that point of the washing away, the rolling away, the reproach. And now, instead of being spoon-fed, now instead of having curbside service, the manna just out there every morning, no faith required, just go gather it up each day. Now they were to go out and their diet was to change, because now they were to go out into the fields and later to plant those fields and receive the crop that was there and prepare it themselves. God wants us to receive that which would strengthen us and nourish us. Not just the milk of the word, but he wants us to go and to dig and to seek and to know that which will strengthen us and prepare us to be able to have that kind of a victory. Not spoon-fed. A lot of Christians are like that. They'll come and they'll sit through Sunday school and they'll sit through the church service and the pastor will give them some truth and they go back home. This, everyone was responsible now for seeking what to eat, to prepare that. And the Word of God says that for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The Word of God is there to prepare us, to strengthen us, that we can go forth and conquer and receive the blessing. And God can reach a community through a small church, but a growing church. You realize where we are? The people that are here, the talent that God has given to you, the financial statements that were mentioned even this morning or earlier this morning, the blessing God has bestowed upon this church as one man, one leader, gave his His strength and His power, and He was with us for a time to prepare us that we can go forth. And now we seek other leadership, just so it's one that's following the Lord and getting His message from Him, where we can go. A building, growth, other souls won, more missionaries sent out, the word of God going forth, because that's where we're at. May we be prepared spiritually to win that victory, to make the conquest, because God will help us to do that as we draw near to Him, seek His word, and remain in His presence. May the Lord have His way in Victory Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning in Your love. We rejoice, Lord, in knowing that You are there as the captain of the host to lead us, to give Your leader, Your servant, Lord, that would follow after You and receive His message from You, the direction necessary to go this way that we've never gone before. We'd ask for Your strength in that, Lord. Speak to us, direct us. And we pray now in Jesus' name, amen.